Dashamool, an introduction to what is Dashamool. While discussing about the introduction to Dashamool, we discussed on the history, how is it evolved. We understood how this Dashamool, Niranayas, or Tattvas, were given by Lord himself to Brahma, and Brahma gave to Narada, Narada gave it to Vyasa, and Vyasa, he gave it to Sripad Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya in turn gave it to his disciples. In this way, Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan Prabhu, he gave a commentary onto these Navaprameyas called Prameya Ratnavali. And then in this way, after Baladev Vidyabhushan Prabhu gave Navaprameyas, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gave a Gaudiya touch to these 9 Prameyas and brought this word Dashamool. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur originally first mentioned this Dashamool in Chaitanya Sikshamrita when he was very young. At that time he had written in 1866 itself. And then in 1886 he brought out one edition of one book called Vaishnava Siddhantamala in 1888. And then he brought about another book called Sriman Mahaprabhu Siksha. There also he has mentioned this thing. And then he brought about one more book called Jaiva Dharma, in which he gave elaborate commentary to this particular 9 Prameyas. And then again, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote Gauranga Lila, Sri Gauranga Lila Smaranamangala Stotram. In that again he has mentioned this Dashamool, 10 Niranayas, those Moola verses, the Mool verses of these subjects. And then later on he again mentioned in 1900 he wrote Harinam Chintamani, where he talked about the subject matter again. And ultimately Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote one book called Srimad Bhagavat Marichi Mala, Bhagavat Arka Marichi Mala, where he mentioned 20 races, 20 things which are further explaining Dashamool from the point of view of Srimad Bhagavatam, or with reference to Srimad Bhagavatam. So these were the things which we learnt yesterday in the first session. So while learning these things, some important points came up. The important points is that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he made us something different from Madhvas. Though officially we are connected to Madhvas, but from the point of view of rasa, we are not connected to Madhvas. So what is the fundamental distinction between Navaprameyas and Dashamool? The fundamental distinction is that in Dashamool, you have a Gaudiya touch to it. Especially, there are certain points which I just mentioned yesterday was Rasabdhim. This is not explicitly found in Navaprameyas. So he makes it, this Krishna is full of rasa. That point is not very exclusively mentioned. And other point which we find is that he changes the order and also makes it more juicy. That means makes it more of rasatattva rather than just paratattva. Explanation of paratattva, instead of just explanation of paratattva, he adds some rasa to it. So these are the certain things which Bhaktivinoda Thakur made changes, and he explains it in Jaiva Dharma. Now, in the second session, we went into a very good exercise. The exercise was knowing the Sanskrit for each and every Dashamool. So it's a very important exercise, because at the end of our 4 days of class on Dashamool, even though we may not really able to remember the entire shloka as it is, we should be able to mention these 10 names in English as well as in Sanskrit. So before entering into that particular verse where these 10 items are mentioned, we spoke about how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is the originator of this Dashamool. In Gauranga Smarana Mangala Stotram, Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he clearly explains Rahasyam Shastranam Yad Aparichitam Purva Vidusham. Yesterday in the handout, the Gauranga Sparanamangala Stotram, auspicious verses for remembering the Gauranga Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. If you remember one verse, the first verse, 74th verse says, Rahasyam Shastranam Yet Aparichitam Purva Vidhusham. Yet Aparichitam. People were not knowing this thing. Rahasyam Shastranam. The secret of the scriptures were not knowing this. Shruter Gudham Tattvam Dasha Parimitam Prema Kilitam. Shruter Gudham. The Guda means the essence, the substratum of all the scriptures are 10 in number, Dasha Pranitam, Prema Kilitam, it is full of love for Krishna. Dayalu Tatso Prabhur Atikripabdhir Samavadat. Dayalu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being very, very compassionate, and he showered this mercy onto all of us, and he spoke about this thing. Tat Shrushni Shashwat Smarana Padavim Gachato Sma Same. Let that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is so merciful, be always come in the path of my thoughts. In this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he really prays to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and says these 10 instructions, which actually I'm speaking about, is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Now, yesterday we discussed a very interesting point about this particular thing. If Madhvacharya has given it previously, and Baldev Vidyavashpuru has written a commentary onto it previously, why Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that Rahasyam Shastranavyat Aparichitam? Aparichitam means you are not acquainted with it. People are not acquainted, people are not knowing it. Why is he saying so? And that is where we come to the point of how Dashamool has got its speciality. That speciality, that is Krishna Viraha Prema Rasa, that was not explained before. That was not given before. Even though it is mentioned in the scriptures, that was not explained and presented as that is the highest thing. Now, it's a very interesting point which I heard once to note. We know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came us to give the holy names. Is it that the holy names were not before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came? It was there in the scriptures, people are chanting the holy names. But what is the thing which what is the speciality? There are two specialities which was not known before. One speciality is the speciality of the holy name was not known. That is, it is filled with love for Krishna. That is the topmost sadhana. That was not known. Though the holy names were there, but the real form of the holy name was not known. Number two, though people were doing Sankirtan before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, but what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taught us was not just Sankirtan. What was not just Harinam Sankirtan. It is Prem Nam Sankirtan. So it's something special. I still remember in South India, people do Sankirtan, but not like the way we do. Maddened form of Sankirtan is not found. Even you find in Madhva Sampradaya also, in Sri Sampradaya also, they do Sankirtan. But this maddened form of Sankirtan, it is not profusely distributed. It is not there. People even say, you know, you chant the name, but not do peacefully, you know. Why are you making a big hangam out of it? That is what they say. This kind of maddened kind of devotion, that is the speciality of Sri Chaitanya. So it is wrong to say Chaitanya, before Chaitanya there was no holy name. They were only meditating. No, it was there. People were doing it, they were chanting. Glory to the holy name also described. Everything is there. So that is what is the speciality. So yesterday we discussed about this verse and went on seeing that what are the 10 points? And we did an analysis of these 10 points. So let us have a small exercise. And this exercise I'll try to do every session so that at least by the end of these 4 days, you will go to your Bhakti Vaibhava teachers and say these are the 10 points, both in English and in Sanskrit. So let us see, as I've done yesterday, I'll do the English and you have to tell the Sanskrit. Okay? So, go down to that verse. The first one, that is of course, what is the first one is? That Pramana. Pramana has been explained as Amnyaya Paraha Paraha Tattvam. Amnyaya Praha Tattvam. Praha means they speak. Amnyaya means Vedic scriptures speak about the truth. So what are the things which the Vedic literatures are talking about? That means what are the subject matters in the Vedic literatures? What is the object of Vedic literatures? Prameya. So what are the 9 Prameyas? The first Prameya is Hari. The Almighty is one without a second. What is the Sanskrit for it? Harimiha Paramam. Next is He is always vested with infinite power. Sarva Shaktim. Very good. He is the ocean of Rasa. Rasabdhim. The soul is a Vibhinnamsha or separated part. The Vibhinnamsha Jivan. Very good. Certain souls are engrossed by Prakriti. Prakriti Kavalitam. Certain souls are released from the grasp of Prakriti. Tadvimuktans cha bhavat. Because of bhava towards his Lord, what happens? Tadvimuktans. They are liberated. All spiritual material phenomena are Bheda Veda Prakash of Hari. Bheda Veda Prakashamscha. And then, bhakti, devotional service, the only means of attaining final object of spiritual existence. Sadhanam Shuddha Bhaktim. And then prema, pure love is pure love in Krishna is alone the final object of spiritual existence. Sadhyam Tat Pritir Eva. Sadhyam Tat Pritim Eva. Very good. So now you are conversant with these names. Now just I gave you one more handout on Nava Prameyas, 9 Prameyas. Compare these 9 Prameyas and these things. What are the extra things? Just find out. Just a small work for yourself. I am not going to involve in that. Just read them and find out what are the extra things. You have Nava Prameya list with you? Yesterday I gave one more handout. The Nava Prameya list is with you. No? In another handout, in that there are 9 things. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also told 9 aspects of it. So what are the extra things? Right there. In the another... you have the handout, no? Pramayaratna. Not today. Yesterday. Yesterday, Nava Prameya, 9 Prameyas. In that and this list of 9. See, just make a small speculation. They both are common. I am not asking about common things. I am talking about those things which are special. Sarva Shaktim. Very good. Exclusively it has been explained. It is Sarva Shaktim. It is not that in Nava Prameyas it is not there. But it is not exclusively mentioned. Okay. And Rasabdhim. That is there, but Hari Charana Josha Staratamyasya Tesham, in that it is there, it comes like that, okay. According to one's engrossment in the mind of, in the lotus feet of Hari, there is Taratamya. Taratamya means gradation. So in that gradations are explained, how there are two kinds of soul, one is the condition, one is liberated, okay. It is there. And Bedavid Prakasham, and this Bedavid Prakash is not really exclusively mentioned, but it is mentioned like Beda. Is that not? That word, Bedaha, Jiveshwara Bedaha is there. And what else? What is the last one? Prema. Though it is there, you find that in the Prameya Ratnavali, in these 9 points, you have this Prema. But this prema, how in what terms it is mentioned? Tad amala bhajanam, tasya hetum. Tamadamalam tasya hetum. What is that tasya hetum? Moksham Vishnu Angri Labam. Attainment at the lotus feet of Krishna is dikum. But it is not specifically told prema to Krishna is the prayojana. So you found three major things here. Number one is sarvashaktim. Though it is there, but it is not very explicitly mentioned. Number two, rasabdhim. Number three, prema. It's not clearly mentioned. Though we cannot say it is not mentioned, but it is not very explicitly mentioned. By Bhaktivinoda Thakur putting these three things specifically, what he has made? He has made this dashamool. Okay? Okay. Okay, now yesterday because you did not have the notes, we went through the verse which talks about how the Vedic literatures are the source, absolute source of all knowledge. So that is the next verse in this thing. And I read from Jaiva Dharma, chapter 13. How many of you remember how many chapters, what are the chapters in Jaiva Dharma describe these? 13 to 20, that you remember. So we started with the 13th chapter, isn't it? Now, 13th chapter, that is where I have given the notes. Yesterday's notes is also there. Since we did it in a very little bit hurry, most of you might not be able to get the points properly. So we'll just do it again. Okay? 13. Chapter 13. The title is what? Today's notes you can open. The today's handout. We'll reading from that only. Please. Yeah. No. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Baladeva Vidyabhushan is Tattvacharya. Tattva. Tattva means he speaks on philosophy. And Rupa Goswami is Rasacharya. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, his commentaries or his presentations go hand in hand. Rasa, Tattva, both together. In this way, he puts Rasa. Immediately, next sentence he speaks about Tattva. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, I wonder now why this book, Tathavadi, how we only mentioned the 9 points.
Okay, your question is why you only mentioned 9 points? Yeah, Dashamul came later, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave. But the origin, this word Dashamul was not there before that. It was only 9 principles. Pramaya Ratnamali was only there. Nice question. Madhvacharya just mentioned them. He did not give commentaries. He did not give commentary because I'll just go speak about something very subtle here. What was the necessity of Baladeva Vidyabhushan Prabhu? What is the role of Baladeva Vidyabhushan Prabhu in our sampradaya? Let us discuss about that. See, what has happened, there was a lot of criticism by other sampradayas onto the Gaudiyas. What was the criticism? Basic fundamental criticism is, they are bhavukas. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was criticized, his philosophies, devotees were also criticized. So they are just bhavukas. And their teachings are not based on scriptures. Especially when there is scriptures, it is Upanishads. It is the Vedanta Sutra. Rasa Shastras, they don't accept. Even though they accept as secondary. So now, we had, Baladeva Vidyabhushan Prabhu had to prove the authority of the Gaudiya Vedanta based on Upanishads and Vedanta Sutra. So that is a special work which Baladeva Vidyabhushan Prabhu was given. Now, later on, again the same situation came. Because the modern scholars, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to do the same thing again. But he did in a very unique way. By giving rasa along with the philosophy together. That is how we see. Actually, one of the lectures, one of the nice, wonderful things, why Radha Govindji had to go to Jaipur. This point, elaborately, I spoke it when I was talking, taking a seminar here on six systems of philosophy. Then in that, one of the aspects is Vedanta, introduction to Vedanta Sutras of Baladeva Vidyabhushan Prabhu. While talking about it, why Govindji had to go to Jaipur? One reason is, Govinda Bhashya, Vedanta had to be given a Gaudiya commentary to it. But Vrindavan is not the place for Vedanta. So Radharani told Govinda, you do all these things in Jaipur, not here. Then I told in the class saying that, why are you calling me to six systems, the six systems of philosophy here? In VHA. If that is the interest. So basing on that, I explained to devotees there. So though it has been described as seminar on six systems of philosophy and Vedanta, but we are not going to do these things. The only name is that. But we are going to only do Bhagavatam. Six systems of philosophy based on Bhagavatam. How many attended the course, six systems of philosophy? Only you. You are also there. You are also there. So it was basically Bhagavatam. It was nothing else. Though we are doing those things, but we are doing from the Bhagavatam point of view. Especially in the Bhagavatam, you have all the six systems of philosophy being spoken and being defeated. And especially condensed form, all the philosophies are spoken and defeated in the way prayers of the Vedas personified. Very complicated chapter, isn't it? And that is where it has been done. So in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he spoke the philosophy, at the same time did not compromise in speaking the rasa. Baladeva Vidyabhushan Prabhu had to do that. That was a necessity of that particular time. Okay, so we'll read from 13th chapter beginning itself, because yesterday it was done in a hurry. Not only it was done in a hurry, because you did not have the notes, so I could not really make justice to that particular thing. So the next evening, Prajanath sat down. Okay, let us go to the name of the chapter. Nitya Dharma Sambandha Vide Prayojana, in that Pramana Vichar and Prameya Arambha. Prameya Arambha, Prameya has been started speaking. So the next evening, Vajana sat down under the buckle tree facing the courtyard of Shiva's home. The saintly elderly Babaji had developed a kind of parental love for Vajanath. He was waiting for Vajanath to come. When Vajanath arrived, the Babaji at once came out from the courtyard, embracing Vajanath. He took him to the cottage, Vajan Kutir, in a grove of jasmine vines, to one side of Shiva's courtyard. Touching the dust of the saintly Babaji's feet, Vajanath, and thought his life had now become successful, he humbly said, "Oh saintly Babaji, please teach me Dashamool, which contained the essence of our Lord Nimai's teaching." His heart blooming with happiness to hear this very appropriate question, the elderly saintly Babaji said, "Baba, I will explain the Dashamool to you. You are Pandita. Please carefully understand the truth described in these verses." The first verse is this. Now the first verse, let us not get confused with the first verse, second verse, third verse. Like, because there are so many, like you'll have first verse sometimes deleted, only the other verses are spoken like that. Amnaya prahadattam hariparamam sarvashaktim rasabdhim tadbhinnam sajivam prakriti kavalitam tadvimuktam shabhavat veda veda prakasham sakalapihare sadhanam shuddha bhaktim sadhyam tat priti meo padishati jnanam gaurachandra svayam saha. The Vedas teach that Lord is the supreme truth. He has all potencies and is the ocean of nectar of transcendental mellow. The individual spirit souls, which are part and parcels, are divided into groups. Some swallowed by the material energy and others free from the clutches. Everything that exists is simultaneously one and different from Him. Pure devotional service is the way to attain Him. The goal of life is to love Him. This Lord Gaurachandra personally taught to the living entities. Now the question is, where did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally taught these things? That you will find in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussion with five great personalities. One is Sanatan Goswami, other one is Rupa Goswami, and then you have Prakashananda Saraswati, and then Saramuttachari, and then Ramananda Rai. So if that is the case, these five great personalities whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had discussion with, how can we understand that he spoke all these things in these five great discussions? We should understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed Sambandha Jnana to whom? Sanatan. And then he revealed Abhideya to? Revealed Pravajana to? Ramananda Rai. And what about Saramuttachari? What about Prakashan Saraswati? Like when you say Sambandha Jnana, what is Sambandha Jnana? Jiva Surupa Krishna Nityadas? Somebody may ask a question, how, why not Jiva is the Lord? Then the philosophy discussion starts, vichar starts. So the discussion with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Saramuttachari reveals Sambandha Vichar. Sambandha Vichar means why we are living servants of Krishna. That is why there is argument. Saramuttachari, he is an opponent. In these five discussions, two are opponents of Sri Chaitanya. Who are they? Saramuttachari and Prakashananda Saraswati. So now, until unless you have an opponent, your philosophy will not be highlighted. Isn't it? If you want to highlight your philosophy, you should take a very powerful opponent and defeat him. Otherwise, your philosophy is there, you will be taking, that's all. Don't think this also one more philosophy. Until unless the wrong philosophy is defeated, your right philosophy will not come into light. Very famous statement which Prabhupada writes in Bhagavatam. You must have discussed about that statement in Bhagavatam, first canto, first verse, its first chapter itself, where Srila Prabhupada says, until unless one is conversant with the six systems of philosophy, he should not sit on the Vyasasana. What is that verse? Anye charishaya. What is it? Not getting the verse. First canto, maybe 8th verse or 9th verse. First canto, first chapter. Forgetting it. Just here, somebody was Bhagavatam with you. First canto, first chapter, 8th or 9th verse. Just see that. The first line. Vetattvam samitat sarva. Before that. Yani vedvidam sreshto bhagavan badarayan anye chamanish suta pravara vidho viduhu. So in that verse, Prabhupada says, what does he say? Read that line. Okay. Why one should be conversant with the six systems of philosophy? Six systems of philosophy is all bogus. Why should be conversant with something bogus? Because you can present Bhagavatam in defense. In defense means what? After defeating, in the light of these wrong philosophies, you can present the right philosophy. That is the reason one need to know what is wrong also. Complete knowledge involves what is right and both what is wrong. If you just know what is right, sometimes somebody may speak something wrong, you may take it to be right also. That is why you should not only know what is right, you should know what is wrong too. Isn't it? So in this way, these are the 10 things Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally taught to the living entities. Now let us go further. After hearing the summary verse, Vrajanath said, O saintly Babaji, now it is not the time for me to ask any question. You just mentioned these 10 things. I can only ask a question only when you describe further. After you recite the first verse, I'll speak any question that may arise in my heart. Hearing this, the elderly Babaji said, "Good, good. I'll recite the first of the Mula verses. Please listen carefully." Now, be attentive here. Here, please recite the first verse. Now here, when you say first verse, it is referring to the second verse, not the first verse. Why? Because now the first verse are the mentioning these 10 points. And each point here refers to not the 10 points, 9 points. What are the 9 points? Pramayas. Each Pramayas has got a Mula Shloka. So when here Vajranath is telling, I will ask a question after you recite the first verse, means after you recite the first Mula verse. Okay? First Mula verse. So let us see, what is the first Mula verse explaining these 10 points? Amneha. Amneha Praha means explaining the how Vedic literatures are perfect. So now Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the first verse describing Amneha Praha. Amnehas are the Vedic literatures are the perfect source of knowledge. Svatasiddho Veda Haridayata Veda Prabhitataha Paraman Pramanam Tat Praptam Pramamiti Vishayan Tat Namavidhan Tata Pratyakshadi Pramiti Sahitam Sadhyatinaha Yaha Yuktis Tarkakya Pravishati Tata Shakti Rahita. So Svatasiddho. Now Veda has been described as what? Svatasiddha means what? Svatasiddha. Self-evident. Somebody asked Prabhupada once that Prabhupada, we should have a research, Vedic research institute. And Prabhupada told, Vedas are already researched. You don't require any research on it. Already researched. And they are self-evident. You don't require any other proof to prove that Vedas are true. You don't require anything. Svatasiddho Vedho Haridaita Vedaha Pravrittitaha. Svatasiddho Hari Daitaha. Out of great mercy, Hari, he gave it to whom? Gave it to Lord Brahma. Pramanam tat praptam pramniti vishayan tat namavidhan. And Brahma, he came in the disciplic succession, which was accompanied by the sources of evidence such as direct perception, or the evidences for the following truth. Ordinary logic, called tarka, has no power to enter into the discussion of truth. Na yuktis tarkakya pravishati tata shakti rahitaha. Shakti rahita means they don't have any power. Tarka means logic. Logic cannot establish any truth. So this is the Mula Shloka. For which point? Amneya Praha Tattvam. Amneya Praha Tattvam, Mula Shloka is this. Now as soon as this shloka was spoken, Vajranath, he asked the question. What is the question? Is there any evidence in the Vedas that Brahma taught disciples? We don't find that Brahma, Krishna gave the knowledge to Brahma. That is what we hear. But have you ever heard Brahma made some disciples? No, we did not hear. So then, Babaji, he quotes, yes, there is in the Mundaka Upanishad, Brahma Devanam Pratamaha Sambhavuvaha. So now Brahma, he gave the knowledge to Devanam, Vishwasya Karta, Bhuvanasya Gopta, Sa Brahma Vidyam Sarva Vidya Pratishthan, Atharva Jeshta Putraya Praha. Brahma, who is the first demigod, the creator of the universe, the protector of the entire world, spoke knowledge of Supreme, the first of all kinds of knowledge, to his eldest son Atharva. Atharva is one of the sons of Brahma. He received the knowledge. Then you see in this particular Dashmool, in the discussion between Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually makes one Babaji and Vajranath. He keeps a discussion between them. Actually, he's writing the entire. He's asking the question also. He's also answering in his book. So Vajranath, he says again, is there any evidence that when they wrote the Smriti Shastras, the sages gave the proper interpretation of the Vedas? Now, okay, Brahma spoke it to his sons. But is there evidence in the Vedic literatures? Yes. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the crest jewel of scriptures, the Supreme Personality God explains. Kalena nashta pralaye vaniyam veda sangita mayado brahmane prokta dharmo yasyamna atmakaha. At the time of cosmic annihilation, the Vedas became lost. At the beginning of the next creation, I again taught these Vedas to Lord demigod Brahma, for the principle of true religions are my heart. Then Brahma spread this knowledge to his first son Manu. Then the seven sages, great sages, who are the leaders in Bhrigu, whose leader is Bhrigu, learned this knowledge from Manu. In this way, disciplic succession was established. Why there is a Vaishnava disciplic succession? What is the requirement, Babaji? Misled by impersonalism, many people in this world have left the true path. If the devotee is untainted by impersonalism, do not have their own disciplic succession, it will be difficult to associate with true devotees of the Lord, as it is said in the Padma Purana, that sampradaya vinihinaste mantra nishpalamataha, that verse comes. Because if you don't have a proper system of getting the knowledge, then anything is accepted as knowledge. Anything cannot be accepted as knowledge. Sometimes ignorance is accepted as knowledge. Sometimes imperfect knowledge is accepted as knowledge. That is why to discriminate between right knowledge and wrong knowledge, there should be a system. You buy rice. And then, of course, like all malls and all, you get packed rice and all, but villages and all, we get rice. And then you have to discriminate. You have to see whether some stones are there inside. Anything you buy. So you have to segregate. So whatever your knowledge you got from the Vedas anywhere, to discriminate between right and wrong knowledge, you should have a system for it. So in one sense, sampradaya is required for that particular purpose. That is why the acharyas of sampradaya, they write tika. Tika means what? So that is what we know. But actually tika means fencing. You have a nice garden. Then what do you require to protect the garden? You require a fence. So tika means fencing. So the acharyas, when they give the commentary, that is specifically called tika because no wrong interpretation can be done for that particular verse. And that is how they give the commentary. They make a nice, wonderful fencing around that particular verse. So that any wrong notion regarding that verse is completely destroyed. They don't allow any wrong notions to enter that particular verse. That is how the sampradayika acharyas protect the sampradaya. Actually, one of the important words of the sampradayika acharyas, when they hand over to the disciple, they say, you protect. You protect the Vaishnava Siddhanta. You protect the Vaishnava Siddhanta. You protect this preaching movement. Like a son, a father hands over the property to the son and says, my dear son, please protect it. Isn't it? Same way, the pure Vaishnava Siddhanta has to be protected. And that is a thing which the Sampradayaka Acharya gives to his disciple. His disciple. That is what you are getting from. Like Rupa Goswami gives the example of a mango. Oh. Top of the tree, mango is there, and somebody plucks the mango, he gives the mango very nicely to the next person who is sitting in the lower branch. He gives the lower branch. In this way, you receive the mango in original. That is how the knowledge in the sampradaya is very much protected. That is why it is very important for all the devotees to study Prabhupada books very nicely. Because, not only just because for our purpose of Krishna conscious understanding, for the protection of the teachings of sampradaya. A small deviation now, after many years, what will happen? It will become a big deviation. The world has seen this thing. The world has seen in different sampradayas. There is one Vaishnava sampradaya, so-called Vaishnava sampradaya in Gujarat, Swami Narayan. Originally, they belonged to Shri sampradaya. But all of a sudden, when somebody told that let us worship Guru as God. Forget God, we'll worship Guru. And you find they only worship Guru. Krishna is somewhere in the corner. And if you go and see the worship, the way they build the temples, everything, it is pakka pancharatrik. They use all the mantras, all the perfectly everything they do. Just this small deviation it happened 400 years back, now it has become a big havoc. His own guru wrote, you should study Bhagavad Gita. But they never studied it. They only studied, I should study Bhagavad Gita. Every day they read the Shikshapatri. There is one Shikshapatri, there is a small book called Shikshapatri. They go on reading it every day. Because our guru told us to read Shikshapatri. But in Shikshapatri he told read Bhagavad Gita every day. They don't do that. So a small deviation happened 400 years. Now it's a big havoc. And they are so established in Gujarat and many places, in the hearts of the Gujaratis, that if you go and try to preach anything, you cannot say anything which is like against them. They feel very bad and they get hurt and then go away. Millions of people are affected by this. So that is why it's very, very important to protect the Vaishnava Siddhanta. That is why we need to be very careful in studying the Vaishnava Siddhanta. Going further. Why is the next one? Then Vachanath asks a question. Are there complete lists of the disciplic succession? Baba says, the list contains the names of only the most important acharyas. It is their names that are included in this list. I did not, because it will become very big, I have already given the list to you. Baldev Vidyabhushan too has given the list. That you can put it there. Then Vachanath, I wish to hear the list. Then he gives the list. That list is there. The direct perception, inference are not considered a source of evidence, then what kind of knowledge will be able to get, please explain so that I can understand. So if direct perception, inference is not the perfect source of knowledge, and in this way we have senses, and only you can perceive this world through senses, and I have intelligence, and how can I understand anything about God? Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very elaborate description. I intentionally avoided discussion because you are all very much adept in that. Because you have done practically a PhD in explaining four defects of the human being and all these things. You preach everywhere. So I intentionally remembered it. I just mentioned those Sanskrit for that. Brahma, Pramada, Vipralipsa and Karuna Patwa. So these are the four defects because of which we cannot get proper knowledge. Then Rajanava asked another question. Please explain these four defects, mistakes, illusion, cheating, propensity. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains them. I just mentioned, he explains them because you know it very well. Do not sensory perception and other source of knowledge have any value at all? Now question is, four defects are there, then these two, Pratyaksha and Anuman, don't have any value at all or what? Yes, they have value. How long they have value, how much they have value? Only when they support the Vedic. Very good. Rajanath, are the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavat and other scriptures not the source of true knowledge? Now why Rajanath is asking this question? Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, yes?
Because opposition
will ask that question. Yes, because it is not?
Shruti.
Now there is a vast category of audience, or people, even not only in India, everywhere in the West, they say, we accept only original four Veda. We don't accept Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, because Bhagavad Gita is what? It's part of Mahabharata. Mahabharata is Smriti. That all Bhakti Vaidhav, if you are doing Bhakti Vaidhav, you must be knowing more about this particular aspect. And if somebody wants to know more about how Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and Puranas, they are the perfect source of knowledge, you should study the first part of Tattva Sandarbhas. Tattva Sandarbhas has got two parts, Pramana Kanda and Pramaya Kanda. Pramana Kanda talks about how Bhagavatam is the topmost Pramana. So that one has to study thoroughly, then everything is solved there. How many of you attended Tattva Sandarbha course? You attended, few of them attended, okay. So in that, very elaborately it is established that how Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam are also. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives only an introduction, a summary of the entire thing. Now Bhagavad Gita has come forth from the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So it is called Gita Upanishad. Bhaktivinoda Thakur just say, when Shankaracharya himself told Gita Upanishad, why you are discussing about it? Because most of the opponents who are saying that no, Gita, Bhagavatam and all are spriti, they have to accept Shankara. Because if you don't accept Shankara, especially regarding the pramanas which he has given, They don't even care. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, very intelligent, says, when Krishna himself told, and it is called what? Gita Upanishad. Who called Gita Upanishad? It was Shankaracharya who told Gita Upanishad first. It is counted as one of the Vedas because they are the teachings of Chaitanya, and 10 verses, the Dashamul, are also one of the Vedas. The Srimad Bhagavatam is an anthology of the truths described in the Vedas. It is a crest jewel of all sources of knowledge. If they confirm that Vedas teachings, the other Spriti Shastras are also source of true knowledge. The Tantra Shastras are three kinds, those in mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. Among them, the Pancharatras and other Tantras in the mode of goodness expand the confidential portion of the Vedas, Vedic teachings. The word Tantra comes from the root word Tan, which means to expand. Therefore, these Tantras are also counted among the true sources of knowledge. Okay. The Vedas consist of many different books. Among them, which should be accepted and which should not be accepted, please tell. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, whatever is confirmed by Acharyas, we accept it. Whereas Yuga Goswami, he specifically mentioned, there are so many books, they are not available now, but since Madhvacharya has quoted in his writings, I am just quoting it, though those books are not available. So, what is the course of time the Acharyas, the bona fide has accepted, that should be considered the actual Veda. What they have rejected as interpretation should not be accepted. Then, Vrajanath. What books of the Vedas have the Acharyas and the bona fide disciples accepted? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a small hint. The Acharyas have accepted the 12 Upanishads named Isha, Kena, Katha, Prashna, Mundaka, Mandukya, Taittiriya, Aitriya, Chandogya, and Bhridharanyaka and Shvetashvatara, as well as Gopal Tapani Upanishad and Narasimha Tapani Upanishad and other Tapani Upanishads, as well as Brahmanakas, Mandalas and other portions of the Rigs, Yajur, Samathara Vedas. The Acharyas have accepted all these books as a source of genuine knowledge. Vrajanatha asks question. You said that the material logic has no power to understand spiritual thing. What is the proof for that? That is the last thing which is explained in this particular section. Bhava says, Kena Upanishad says, Naisa Tarkena Matir Apneya, by spiritual truth cannot be understood by material knowledge. Upanishads only talk about it. And then Vedanta Sutra, very famous sutra. Prabhupada quotes left right about this sutra. Tarka Pratishthanat. Tarka Pratishthanat means by tarka, by logic, you cannot establish anything conclusive. And also very famous statement from the Mahabharata. Achintya kalu yebhavana tarakim siyojayet prakritibhya param yaccha tad achintyasya lakshanam. Because the Supreme Lord is achintya, it is very difficult to establish by tarka. Tarkena na yojayet. Because achintya yekalu bhava. The subject matter is achintya, it is transcendental. Now, in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the first mula. What is the first mula? Veda praha tattvam. Vedas speak about the truth. So, Vedas are truth. That has to be understood. Regarding this, it is a small story. Very interesting story though. Shripad Shankaracharya was giving a lecture. And he ended the lecture saying, Vedam Satyam, Veda is truth. And disciple wanted to see. He is telling Veda is truth. Let me examine whether Veda is true or not. Because until unless something is proved, experimentally proved, you cannot accept it. So what happened is, he went on top of a temple. In South India, you know, big temples are there. Huge temples, Gopuram. So he went on top of the Gopuram and then told, if Vedas are true, nothing will happen to me. And he jumped. Just imagine. Whatever it may be, just see, such a staunch seekers of truth. They would even value truth more than their life. He jumped. When he jumped, of course he did not die. Except death, everything happened to him. Then he broke his hands and legs. And he came to Shankara. I told, see, you spoke and I went. Then Shankara told, okay, I'll come. So he went on top of the temple. Both of them went. Shankara held him like this. And told, Vedam Satyam Veda truth, and dropped him. And then he just fell down. And he stood up. Everything became okay. Why? That is the problem. When Shiva and Parvati had discussion, I exactly don't know the words, but I heard in one of the lectures, in discussion, Parvati told, you spoke the entire truth in Vedas. Everything is there. They just, in the age of Kali, everybody will just come to know about it. It's so easy. Then Lord Shiva told, especially this is regarding the astrology or some other scriptures. So there Lord Shiva told Parvati, everything is revealed in the scripture. It is so easy. But there is one clause. People will understand it only to the extent of their faith in it. Like holy name can give you Krishna prema. Why are you not getting? You will get only that much to the extent faith in it. So the problem is not in the scriptures. The problem is not in the holy name. The problem is not anywhere. The problem is with our faith in that. When Shankara told Vedam Satyam, he did not say if and but. He just dropped him, say Vedam Satyam. That's the whole point. When he dropped himself, he jumped, he told, if Vedas are true, nothing will happen. Then he broke. Okay, now the second verse explaining Harim Iha Paramam. So now this also comes in the 13th chapter only. I just cannot put it in the paper like this. Just you should know how it is presented. So in the 13th chapter itself, two Mula Shlokas are described. The second Mula Shloka is what? Harimiha Paran. Vajnath asked, oh saintly Babaji, accept the self-perfect Vedas, the best of the sources of knowledge. If they try to contradict the Vedas, the logicians are merely speaking in vain. Now please recite the second words of Dashamula. Then Babaji recites the second verse. Haristvekam tattvam vishashiva suresha vidishiva suresha pranimitaha tad devedam brahma prakriti rahitam tat tanumaha paratma tasyamsho jagadanugato vishvas janakaha sai savai radha kanto navajaladikantis chidudayaha. Now, he says, Lord Hari is the only supreme truth. Hari stvekam tattvam. Hari is the only truth. And then he says, Hari is the only truth. Shiva Suresha Pranihitaha. Not Vishi, Vidhi. What is the written? That? Vishi? V-I-S-H-I is written, na? There is something wrong there in that. What is Vishi? It's Vidhi. Vidhi. Lord Brahma is Vidhi. Vidhi. Vidhi Shiva Suresha Pranamita. Pranamita means they are all paying obeisances to the Supreme Lord. Vidhi means Brahma, Lord Shiva and Lord Shiva and Suresha, Indra. They are all paying obeisances to the Supreme Lord. Tad evedam brahma prakriti rahitam tat tanu mahaha. And then the impersonal Brahman. Tad evedam brahma prakriti rahitam tat tanu mahaha. So this Brahman, which is described in the Upanishads, is nothing but what? Tanu mahaha. The effulgence coming from the body of the Supreme Lord. Paratma or the super soul, Paramatma. Tasyam so jagat anugato vishwa janakaha. His Paramatma, who is Paramatma? Is Tasyam so his amsha. Only a partial manifestation. Jagat anugato vishwa janakaha. And this Paramatma is the source of all the material worlds. Savai Radha Kanto, who is that Hari? Savai, that same Hari is none other than Radha Kanto. And how is his body? Nava Jalada Kanti Chidudayaha. Nava Jalada Kanti. Jalada means cloud. because they give rain. Jala means water, da means to give. So cloud is known as Jalada. Jalada Kanto, his body is like the cloud. And Chitudayaha means it is Chitudayaha, is fully spiritual. Now here we have a similar words in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also, talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the very beginning, anybody remembers that verse? Yad Brahmopanishadi tadapyasya tanubha yantaryami purushaha sosyam shavaibhava chadeshwarya purno yahya bhagavan sasvayamayam chaitanya krishna jagati paratattvam param iha. So Krishnadas Kalidas Goswami quotes this verse, originally written by Swarup Dhamma Goswami. He explains about how this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than that Brahman. Yad Brahmopanishadi tadapyasa tanubha. In the Upanishads, the word Bhagavan doesn't come many times. Mostly the word is Brahman, Brahman. Whatever is described in the Upanishads as Brahman is nothing but the effulgence of Sri Chaitanya. And apart from Brahman, there another word which is used for the Lord is Paramatma. This Paramatma, who is none other than Yasyam Shavaibhava. And then ultimately it is Bhagavan. Shadaishwari Purno Yahya Bhagavan Sasvayamayam Chaitanya. There is no other living entity other than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Paratattvam. Here, Hari is spoken, there Chaitanya is spoken. So let us see what are the question asked by Vajranath. Vajranath talks about his thing. The Upanishads teach that the impersonal Brahman is the highest truth, and it is bound, it is beyond the touch of matter. Why then does Sriman Gaurahari affirms that the effulgence of Lord Hari is the effulgence of Lord Hari's body? Now in the Upanishads, impersonal Brahman is described. It is described as the highest truth. How is it that is the body, effulgence of body of the Supreme Lord? Then Babaji explains. Lord Hari is the Supreme Personality of God, Bhagavan. The word Bhagavan means he possesses six opulences. In Vishnu Purana it is written, very famous verse, everybody knows. Aishwaryasya samagrasya vishvairyasya yashasya shriyaha jnana vairagyasya chaiva sannam bhaga itingana. So there are six opulences. What are they? Wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, renunciation. Now, be very careful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very, very nice distinction between these six things. We just say these six opulences, but there is some intricacy in these six. And as far as my study goes, this analysis is not given by any of the Goswamis, any of the scriptures. Maybe in the Sandarbhas, other than Tattva and Tattva and Paramatma. Maybe in Bhagavad Sandarbha it may be there. I don't know. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very nice analysis of these things and establishes that how the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan, actually is the source of Brahman and also Paramatma based on this verse. Let us see. These six opulences are interrelated, like the limbs of the body. That is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's statement. Which of them is the body? Which of them are the limbs? The body is a resting place of the limbs. The tree is the body and the branches are the limbs. The whole form of the body and the hands and the feet are included in the limbs. The body is a resting place of the limbs. Of the Supreme Lord's opulence, his handsomeness is the body. I don't know whether English word handsomeness is there or not. Handsomeness. Okay. When somebody like Shakespeare can do some changes in grammar, Bhaktivinoda Thakur can do it. There's nothing like handsomeness, but he can use it. His handsomeness is the body, and other opulences are the limbs. Now you have six. Out of six, beauty is the body, and other are only limbs. Now, wealth, strength and fame are three limbs. The effulgence of fame consists of knowledge and renunciation. Just see how he has categorized. Among the six, beauty is what? Body. And after beauty, three are, that is, wealth, strength and fame are limbs. But within this fame, there are two categories. What are they? Knowledge and renunciation. These knowledge and renunciation are the effulgence. The effulgence of fame consists of knowledge and renunciation. Therefore, these two are the effulgence of the one limb. They are the opulence of an opulence. They are not direct opulence in themselves. Knowledge of changeless spirit and renunciation of matter are part of body of the impersonal Brahman. When you talk of impersonal Brahman, we talk about what? Knowledge and renunciation. Those who have knowledge and renunciation, they get. So impersonal Brahman's quality is what? Knowledge and fame. And they are what? Nothing but the effulgence of fame, which is actually a limb of beauty. You getting it? It's amazing. The impersonal Brahman is effulgence emanating from the spiritual world. The unchanging, innate, formless, qualityless Brahman is not the independent highest truth. It is a form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that is the independent highest truth. The light of a fire is not independent. It is the fire itself that is independent, and the light is merely one of fire's qualities. So it's very amazing, this particular section. Maybe you can read it again when you go back and then contemplate on this. So you have six qualities. I have a small recap. Out of which beauty is the body, and wealth, strength and fame are the limbs, and the effulgence of the fame are knowledge and renunciation, and these are the aspects of Brahman. So Brahman is nothing but the effulgence of one of the limbs of the body called beauty of Krishna. So that is how we can present it in a simple way. Let us go further. Rajanath asked further. In many places in the Vedas, after the impersonal Brahman was described, the text declares, Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat. Prabhupada also says, Oh Hari Hari Om Tat Sat. He also sometimes writes, Om Tat Sat Hari Om. In Bombay, you say Hari Om means that you are Asharamabwala. So you can understand. If somebody says Hari Om to you, means he is Asharamabwala. You say Hare Krishna means Hare Krishna Wala. Jai Sri Krishna means Gujarati. Like that. So then Babaji answers, Lord Hari is Radha and Krishna who enjoy the transcendental pastimes. Now he asks, who is this Hari? Because in the Mula Shloka, he has mentioned this, na, Hari. Hari Eva Paramam. Now, who is this Hari? Hari is Radha and Krishna. Now starts our Gaudiya, this thing. Now, Madhvacharya says Hari Eva Paramam. But now, who is that Hari? Hari Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about Radha and Krishna is Hari. See, this thing, Hari is Radha Krishna. That is a speciality of Gaudiya. If you go to Sri Sampradaya, they would say Lakshmi Narayana Mithuna Swabhavat Iti Hari. Ramanujacharya clearly says Hari means it is Lakshmi and Narayana's combined form. Now here Bhaktivinoda Thakur says what? Radha and Krishna's combined form. Let us go further. I will ask about this later. Now he says that we will talk about Hari, how Hari is Radha and Krishna, we will talk about later. First we will talk about Paramatma now. Is our question. I will ask about this later. Please tell me what kind of expansion of the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan, is Super Soul, Paramatma, the Father of material universe? Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains. Employing the two opulences of wealth and strength, now Again, basing on the same thing. About fame, it has been described. Now, what are the two things? Two limbs? Wealth and strength. The Supreme Lord creates the material world, Maya. After creating the world, the Lord expands Himself as Vishnu and enters it. When the Lord expands Himself, each expansion is perfect and complete. This is described in the following words of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Many Upanishads this verse comes, so you don't have to really worry about it. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. So now, from Krishna, the Super Soul, one fragment comes out. One fragmented part of the Super Soul is described in the Bhagavad Gita also. Vishtabhyavidam Krishnam Ekangshena Sito Jagat, 10th chapter, last verse. Where Krishna, he says, my Arjuna, Athava Bhunaitena Gyatayama, Athavacha Arjuna, what is the use of telling all my opulences to you? Vishtabhyavidam Krishnam, the entire world is pervaded by a fragment of my portion. That is the Super Soul. Therefore, the Super Soul is Lord Vishnu, who is perfect and complete. He has entered the material world and who protects the material world. Lord Vishnu thus manifests in three forms. You know these three forms. Bhaktivinoda Thakur elaborates these three forms. I intentionally removed that particular section, not to make it very lengthy. We are all experts in talking about Kshirodakshi Vishnu, Garbhodakshi Vishnu, Karanodakshi Vishnu. You know it very well. That is, Kshirodakshi Vishnu, Karanodakshi Vishnu is the Paramatma. He is the Paramatma for all the universes. And Garbhodakshi Vishnu is the Paramatma for one universe. And Kshirodakshi Vishnu is Paramatma for individual soul. So that all subject you know very well. We will go further. So the main point here is, taking that Bhagavan definition, you have strength and strength and wealth. From these two, the Lord manifests what? Paramatma to create this universes. Okay? From fame, two things come out. What are they? Knowledge and renunciation aspect of Brahman. So we are very clear about it. So it's a very important connection which I think most of us has not heard this particular section. Okay? It's a very interesting point. I accept that the impersonal Brahman is the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's body, and that is Super Soul in His expansion. Now please tell me, what is the proof that Lord Krishna is the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, all opulence and sweetness eternally. When His opulence is manifested, He is Narayana. Now, you are talking that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I want to know, that means His question is about now. He spoke about Brahman, how Brahman is manifested from Krishna's opulence. And now then Krishna's fame. Then he spoke about Paramatma, how Paramatma is manifested from Krishna's strength and opulence, potency, or the riches, Aishwarya. And now comes about talking about what are the other features of Krishna, like Narayana and all, Narasimha, all the avatars. Then the question is like, what is the distinction between them? Where are these Narayana and all manifested? That is why he says there are two features. One is the Aishwarya, another is Madhurya, sweetness. So Krishna's beauty, from Krishna's beauty, two things manifest. One is what? Aishwarya, other is Madhurya. Sweetness. When the opulence form of Krishna is Narayana, this is explained in the following verse in the Rig Veda. Apashyam gopam anipada pada mai. Naman anipadyamana manama cha parascha pratibib charantam sa sadrichir sa vishu chirvasana avirit bhuvaneshu antaha. I have seen a certain gopa. It's from Rig Veda. I don't know how did. What a translation for this. I have seen a gopa dressed in colorful garments and accompanied by many beautiful girls. As he wanders the play path in the spiritual world, we should show to the South Indian Brahmins this thing. We should show this verse to the South Indian Brahmins. Rig Veda, this is there. They will be living like short. Hey. That's why we will not chant this. They will say. They are all chanting Veda, but you tell Krishna the Supreme Lord, they don't accept it. So, this Rigvedic mantra, it clearly says, Avashyam, I am seeing Gopam. I am seeing this Gopa with colorful garments and accompanied by many beautiful girls as he wanders the play path in the spiritual world. The same Gopa again and again enters the material world and stays in the hearts of the living entities. Now go to Chandogya Upanishad. This is another very interesting verse, Chandogya Upanishad. You know Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he got all these verses from. Really? He must have mastered all the Upanishads or what? Getting that particular thing and say, even your Upanishads say, talk about Krishna. The biggest problem with many of the scholars is they just cannot accept Krishna as Supreme Lord. The more you are a scholar in Vedas, the more it is difficult for you to accept Krishna as Supreme Lord. Yeah, there are other interpretations also for it. Gopa. they would take the word Gopa and do all kinds of things and then and establish Gopa means something else. And now here Bhaktivinoda Thakur gets this verse of the Chandogya Upanishad. He says, Shamaschavalam prapadhye, Shamalachamam prapadhye. to attain Radha surrender to Krishna, to attain Krishna surrender to Radha. Shama means Krishna, Shamala means Radha. Shama Chamalam Prapadye. If you want to get Shama, if you want to get Krishna, what do you do? If you want to get Radha, you get surrender to Krishna. And if you want to surrender to, if you want to get Radharani, surrender to Krishna. Even it is amazing to see the Chandogya Upanishad speaks about it. And actually Madhvacharya, he actually in many, many times in his Vyakhyana, Hari, what is that? Hari. One book is a beautiful book. If I remember, that will come. Just split out my mind. So, where he established that Hari is the Supreme Lord. And he quotes verses glorifying Durga, glorifying Ganesha, glorifying Indra, and establish how they are glorifying Hari. And he does it. And then explains and concludes saying that Adhyech, Madhyech, Antyech, Sarvatra Harir Giyate. In all the scriptures, in the beginning, middle and end, there is only Hari being described. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is actually pinpointing those verses. These verses describe the liberated souls in the relationship with Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yetecham Sakulapam San Krishnastha Bhagavan Swayam, that you know very well. We'll go to the next question. Vrajanath, Lord Krishna has an average size form. Oh, very interesting point. How can he be present everywhere? You say small Krishna, baby Krishna, and you say he's everywhere. What is this? If we accept that Lord Krishna has a form, we must also accept that his form can only stay at one place at one time. Limited in the way, he must have some faults. Now, if he's limited, then he should be having some faults. Now, he must fall under the control of material modes. No longer can he be supremely independent. How can all the defects be removed from Lord Krishna? Now, if he's just a small place, he's just at one place, he's restricted, then how is it so? Then Babaji goes to a very long discussion. I intentionally avoid the entire discussion because that is left for you to explain to people how, in spite of Krishna being you see him as a small boy, he's all pervading. But essential point I've given. And Baba says, Baba, you are a conditioned soul trapped in the material world of Maya. That is why you have these doubts. As long as it is bound by the ropes of Maya, your intelligence will never be able to touch the transcendental reality. Where did you get this idea that an average size form of Krishna have any flaws? The glory of Lord Krishna's average size form is far from your material intelligence can understand. This has happened because in the past you have committed many impious deeds. So now we'll have a small 2 minutes discussion about this particular point. It's a major argument. When you say the Lord has form, immediately they think, if Lord has form, if your God has form, He's limited. So it is very difficult for them to imagine something having form at the same time unlimited. How can you have a form which is unlimited? That is their major question. And it's also most difficult thing to explain and answer. It is not very easy, because the core aspect of Mayavad philosophy is this thing. The core aspect of Mayavad philosophy is, the moment you say form, it is limited. So the Lord has been described, the Brahman is described as unlimited, so it should be formless. So now, how are you going to answer it? So that is up to you now. You are all Bhakti Vaibhav students, so I will not tell. So speak something. Yes. Let us have some interesting points. Yes.
Just like there is air and then...
Oh, I am a Mayavadi. I am just telling, okay. Let us argue.
You said there is air and the demigod for the air is a person. So if he appears, so even though he appears before you, but the air will be there all over.
So you mean to say there is a distinction between the person and his potency? Isn't it? But the scripture says, don't say so. Ekameva dvitiyam brahma, there is only one.
It's his personalized form, apart from his personalized form, it's still available everywhere as air.
But the scriptures don't accept this thing. Scriptures say, ekameva dvitiyam brahma, there is only one. Where two came from? Huh? No, that is when the Supreme Lord is conditioned by Maya, that is the time you call it Ishvara, all these things happen. But originally it is only Brahman.
Krishna says that I am the source of this impersonal Brahman in the world. So there has to be a source for that Brahman, and Krishna says that I am that source.
That is Jada Brahman.
So there is Jada Brahman and the other Brahman.
Yes, yes. That is Vyavaharika. Vyavaharika means conventional.
Means there is two. So where did you find two? If you say only two, then where?
Because at present our consciousness is not so elevated to understand oneness. That is why we talk like this.
Huh?
Yeah, that is the point. That is where it is. When you talk about form, where did this form come from? That is where you have to point out. If you accept Brahman is the source of everything, He is a force for
everything.
Force for form too. Prabhupada actually hit everyone with this stick. Because the scriptures say the Supreme Lord is the source of everything. The Supreme Lord is the source of everything, then He should be the source of form too. If He is a source of form, He can only give something which He has. So He cannot give something which He doesn't have. So the Lord has form. Now question arises, if the Lord has a form, how is He not limited? So now Bhaktivinoda Thakur is clearly told, because of your conditioned consciousness, your mind is material. In material mind, you cannot imagine a spiritual form. You cannot imagine a spiritual form. So, this discussion, this point, leads to the next point. What is the next point in Dashamul? First one is scriptures. Second one is Hari, Supreme Lord. Next one is? Yes. This point leads to the next one, that how the Lord can have form at the same time all pervasive. That leads to the second topic of Sarva Shaktiman. So you're getting the point? Huh? So even though you will find these 10 are there, they are not just 10 like that. They are connected with each other. So what is the thing this Paratattva is connected to the Shakti. What makes that we should speak about Shakti as a separate subject, which you don't find in Madhvas? Because Madhvacharya and Ramanuja, they had a great difficulty in this, to tackle this problem. Because they did not have the concept of Shakti. It is not the concept of, not have a very clear explanation of Shakti Tattva. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very elaborate description of Shakti Tattva. So that will, in the next chapter. So, we got how many? Lot. So we'll stop here. It's lunch time now. We'll do some more thing and then go to the next chapter, and we have to finish today the entire Shakti part. Okay, we stop here. It's good that we did a little bit and then continue in the next session regarding the Shakti and C connection. Okay. Shri Prabhupada ki chai.